In this episode of Cosmere Considered, we will be discussing the French Terror, a period of upheaval and revolution in 18th century France, and the book series Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson. The Reign of Terror began sometime between 1789 and 1793, and continued on until July 1794. During this period, of what several sources say was only 18 months long, between 17,000 and 40,000 people died. Many historians cite the death of Louis XVI at the hands of the Revolutionary Tribunal as the start date of the Terror. Others say that the September massacres of 1792, when over 1,000 imported Swiss prisoners were butchered on the Field of Mars, a public park in Paris, were the true beginning. Due to the paranoia surrounding a prison conspiracy, fear of invasion, and a lack of control from the government, half the prisoners within Paris were executed over a 3-day span. Horrific public execution was something Brandon Sanderson needed in his fantasy world of Scadrial, and so it is easy to see why he picked 18th century aristocratic France as the canvas on which to paint his best-selling series, Mistborn. In the Final Empire, often referred to simply as Mistborn, a team of highly skilled and superpowered thieves attempt to overthrow, and possibly kill, the immortal god emperor known as the Lord Ruler. The crew is led by the charismatic, psychotic, and recently widowed Kelsier, the only person to ever escape the prison, the pits of Hathsin. Kelsier, or Kelsier, as the nobility would say, knows he can't exact revenge upon the Lord Ruler without help. So he enlists the help of our other main character, Vin, the street thief. The story takes place in Luthadel, a city that somewhat resembles 18th century Paris, France, complete with castle-like manor houses, massive cathedrals, the smell of excrement, and a giant spiked metal building near its center. And thousands upon thousands of slaves and peasants. People who the aristocracy see as subhuman, and who they regularly beat to death in the streets. In A Tale of Two Cities, a story set during the Terror, which also follows a recently escaped prisoner and widow, Charles Dickens imagines that the spark which starts the peasant uprising is a lord, carelessly and somewhat maliciously, running down a child with his carriage while passing through a village. The child's distraught father murders the lord in his bedchambers, and the murder of nobles continues as the country descends into chaos. In Mistborn, the revolution also begins with the death of a single person. But more on that later. At the start of both books, the peasantry have been beaten down for centuries, and their meager lives are seen as so worthless by the nobility that killing a peasant in the street isn't even a crime. You may think this laissez-faire attitude towards life would have inspired rebellions before this final breaking point, and you would be right. The French have been rebelling violently almost every decade for the better part of 400 years. And in Mistborn, the peasants, or ska, as they're called, have had many rebellions. Unfortunately, in both worlds, the royalty endured and the rebels were slain in every account. But eventually, the aristocracy fell to the rebels. But first, many rebels had to fall to the aristocracy. Both A Tale of Two Cities and The Final Empire promise that the stories of their protagonists will mirror the failures of the peasant class. Thank you. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, is how Charles Dickens welcomes you into A Tale of Two Cities. The famous opening line encapsulates the emotions you're going to be feeling as you read A Tale of Two Cities. And every time you switch from one character viewpoint to another, every time something is revealed that was kept secret, and specifically when you finish the book, the joyful, yet somehow melancholic hope that thrums through you resonates with the feeling that yes, yes, it was the best of times. And yes, it was the worst of times. The opening line from The Final Empire has become as well-loved by Cosmere fans as the opening line from A Tale of Two Cities is loved by classicists. Ash fell from the sky. Promises something to the reader as well, but its promise is far more bleak. You are not promised light at the end of the tunnel. You are only promised ash. Ash from volcanoes, ash from burning cities, ash from the torches of the mobs, and ash from the pyres of the dead. The promise of grief would be debilitating if it was the only promise the book made. However, one more line from the beginning of The Final Empire stands out. Each chapter is preceded by an epigraph, and the first epigraph, meaning the very first words a reader will see, are "Sometimes I worry that I'm not the hero everyone thinks I am." This line, taken from the In-World Journal of a King, lets readers know that the darkness of the ash is mirrored by a similar darkness in our protagonists, a darkness that is likely not always noticed by others. The term terror, being used to describe the period, was introduced by the Thermidorian reaction, who took power after the fall of Maximilian Robespierre in July 1794, to discredit Robespierre and justify their own actions. Today, there is consensus among historians that the exceptional revolutionary measures continued after the death of Robespierre, and this subsequent period is now called the White Terror. By that time, almost 17,000 official death sentences had been dispensed throughout France since June 1793, of which 2,700 were in Paris alone. This does not count the 10,000 people who died in prison without trial or under both of these circumstances. And now, to give you fair warning, I am going to spoil the ending to both A Tale of Two Cities and Mistborn, The Final Empire. In A Tale of Two Cities, we follow two characters, Sidney Carton and Charles Darnay. The protagonist of the book, Charles Darnay, is somewhat our hero. He is a father and a man who, throughout the tale of two cities, we see as someone we empathize with and we hope for. Sidney Carton, on the other hand, is a former criminal who has only recently escaped France. His crimes weigh heavy on his soul throughout the books, and by the end of it, he is guillotined in France. The reason he dies is because he gives himself up in place of Charles Darnay, because he looks similar enough to our protagonist that their places are easily switched. In Mistborn, The Final Empire, our main character, Kelsier, leads this rebellion before dying at the hands of the god he had tried to slay. He leaves behind his crew and the young girl he was training as a master assassin and courtier, Vin. Vin is distraught by his death, as Charles is distraught by Sidney's. but both of them move on. Charles goes back to his family, and Vin does what no one has done in 1,000 years. She kills the God King, the Lord Ruler, who has been ruling over Luthadel and the Final Empire for an age. In real life, in France, eventually the Terror burned itself out. People stopped murdering the aristocracy and the peasants until eventually the man who started the Reign of Terror, Maximilian Robespierre, himself was killed. Then the Thermidorian reaction began until eventually the Directory took power. The Directory saw the return of bourgeois values, corruption, and military failure. In 1799, the Directory was overthrown in a military coup led by Napoleon Bonaparte, became dictator and emperor of France. In the second book of the Mistborn trilogy, Elend Venture rises to power as king over Luthadel. He lays down a set of laws to make sure that nothing happens like what happened before. Peasants are no longer beaten in the street, and they have the freedom to own shops, trade goods, and look a lord in the eyes. Lords have to pay more taxes, help the poor, and are not allowed to wield power absolutely. Three classes of people now exist in Luthadel: the merchants, the ska, and the lords. Elend, however, is too bright-eyed and cheery. He loses his throne by vote, a vote which he writes into law as king. He eventually needs the help of his wife, Vin, who murders thousands of people, including neighboring kings. Even in this, the Final Empire and the Mistborn trilogy mirror France, because Elend is reinstated, not as king, but as emperor. He learns that when you are trying to do good, you cannot wield weakly. You need to rule with an iron fist. For a country cannot survive if dissenters are allowed to have their say and power. This is very similar to what happened in France before the Thermidorian reaction, when Maximilian Robespierre let too many people wield power. Eventually, it led to his downfall. I don't know if Brandon Sanderson directly built The Final Empire and Mistborn based off of A Tale of Two Cities and the Reign of Terror, but I draw clear signs from all of it. In fact, if we look at the accents and costuming for the characters in The Final Empire, we see that it is very much aristocratic France. One final thing I will say. Mistborn, the original trilogy, ends, and a second trilogy, taking place in the same city, in the same world, 500 years later, begins. This new series follows similar characters trying to do similar things. And what is interesting to me is that much like modern-day France, the people rebel. They have had it horrible in the past, and they are not willing to give up what good they have gotten. At the time that I am recording this episode, there are currently protests and riots in France over the government's attempt to increase the retirement age. The French people, much like the mythical people, the Elendelians and the Ska in the Mistborn series, they will not settle. They will not go quietly into the night, they will not stop, and they will always put up a fight. These are the main things that brought me joy and disgust when reading A Tale of Two Cities and the Mistborn trilogy. I suggest if you have not read Charles Dickinson's A Tale of Two Cities that you should pick it up, especially if you enjoyed Mistborn. And if you enjoyed A Tale of Two Cities and haven't read a fantasy book you have enjoyed, I would suggest Mistborn. Thank you for listening to Cosmere Considered. Feel free to email me at cosmereconsidered@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments, or if you think I got something wrong. All of the information used in today's episode is from Wikipedia and the History Channel. Music is, of course, provided by Tabletop Audio, with a few of my own depressing chords strummed for effect. Thank you for listening. Keep reading, and I hope you enjoyed considering the Cosmere.